You know, a lot of us think that the purpose Jesus came was to try to help us get to heaven after we die. Well, I'd like to raise some serious questions about that based on the New Testament. I'd like to suggest Jesus didn't come here to tell us how to get to heaven after we die, primarily. He came to talk to us about how the kingdom of heaven can happen here on earth while we're here and when our children or our grandchildren are here. Maybe what we should do is we should get Jesus to edit the Lord's Prayer. So we should edit the Lord's Prayer to sound more like the way we think. It should say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May we go to heaven after we die. May we leave here and go to your kingdom in heaven, which is unlike earth because there your will is done." But that's not what the Lord's Prayer says. It says, "May your kingdom come here. May your will be done down here on earth as it is in heaven." Very different understanding of what Jesus is about when we see his message centered on the kingdom. But what does that mean? What does the kingdom of God mean? Well, it changes the way you look at people who are different. You stop rich, look at the poor in a different way. The poor look at the rich in a different way. People look at people of other races and other religions in a different way. You can't look at someone of a different political party the same way and be faithful to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God makes you look at creation in a different way. You look at the trees and the sky and the air and the water in a different way. This is now my Father's world. It's my Father's beautiful artwork that I... It's not just natural resources for me to make a buck off of. If you're taking the kingdom of God seriously, you look at peace and reconciliation and conflict and war in a very different way. It's easy if you're in the kingdoms of this world to bomb people and kill people and throw them in prison and throw away the key. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you can't treat other people that way. You have to look at it from a new perspective, a new point of view, higher point of view. Jesus said things like, "If you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, if you see someone who's in prison and you go to visit them, if you see someone who's naked and you give them clothing, if you welcome a little child..." You know, in those moments, God's will is being done on earth because God cares about that little child and God cares about that forgotten person in prison. When somebody loves their enemy, they're living by the way of the kingdom. On the human level, people see an enemy and they hate them. You love your friends, you hate your enemies. But when people love their enemies, they're manifesting the kingdom of God. When rich people decide that they're not going to use their wealth and power to keep aggrandizing themselves and improving their own portfolio, but when they reach a point, they say, "Gosh, I have enough, and there are people in such need. Now I'm going to use my money and my time and my energy and my voice and my vote on behalf of people who are suffering and poor and oppressed and forgotten." At that point, I'm not just a citizen of this world. At that point, I'm acting as a citizen of God's kingdom. I'm living out the way and the teaching and the example of Jesus. Those are some of the things, some of the ways the kingdom of God is a liberating and yet disturbing message for people today.
How are you this morning? Glad to see you guys that were able to be here. Spring break, as usual, has hit us this morning, and quite a few people looks like are out for spring break. So glad that you guys could make it. This morning we're going to be continuing our discussion about being sent and what it means about the kingdom of God. That was a great video introduction about what I'm going to be speaking on this morning, is how we have some misconceptions about what God's kingdom really should look like on earth. We pray, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But we really don't mean that most of the time. We really mean, "Hey God, give me what I need, make sure things go well, and direct me this way that I want to go." That's what we really mean a lot of times when we pray that prayer. Today I want to kind of talk about what it really means to build the kingdom and how it looks so different than what most of us expect. But before we start this morning, let's have a quick word of prayer, guys. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you most of all for your Son and what it means, the church and the kingdom, and that his sacrifice is what makes all of that possible. God, I just pray this morning as we explore these topics, some of these things are going to be different I'm going to speak on some things that typically the church doesn't view the kingdom as perhaps they should. And God, I just pray this morning that people will be attentive and will be able to grasp what I'm trying to explain about how your kingdom is not of this world and what that means to us as Christians and how we can carry out the great commission that you've given us, God. And I just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, guys, let's just dig right in with the first verse we want to look at this morning from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is kind of a continuation of a thought, but it says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That's pretty simple and straightforward, except, what's the gospel? That is one of the most difficult things for some church members to explain. You know, the gospel is also called the good news. Maybe you all have heard those terms. The good news. I think Rick Warren that said this. In the way we evangelize, and this was prevalent in our area, in our communities in the South, we would evangelize by saying, "If you don't straighten up, you're going to hell." Yeah, that's true, but is that good news? If you just get, boy, that sounds great. I want to go and hear that again next Sunday, don't you? I don't have enough problems in my life without worrying about that every week. Let me go and hear that every week. And what happens is we get this idea that God is this giant cosmic bully that is waiting to put us in a bad place the first time we screw up in life. And that's not the story of the gospel. That's not what God wants us to get out of this life and the next life. It's a story of love and hope and faith and all these things combined. It's about the death and burial and victorious resurrection of Christ, which we celebrate next week. That's what the gospel is, and a way was made for us to make amends with God for our sins. It was because of his love, not because of his hatred for our sin. It was because of his love for us as a people that he made this sacrifice and made a way to make amends with him possible. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. "But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners," let's pause. I'm going to pause a couple of times through this verse. "He showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners." God recognizes our inability to do the things that he would have us to do. But that sin keeps us apart from him. But he recognized, even though we're in sin, he still loves us. How many of you guys find it easy to love sinners? We're all sinners, okay? Bible is clear on that. How many of you find it more difficult to love somebody that sins differently than you do? If you sin like me, I can understand that. If you do certain things, man, I don't think I can. Wow, you mean you did that? You know, a mother that abandons her child for drugs. How could you do that? I can't understand that. Yet, that mother may be going through something that God has for her that we have no idea what she's in or what's going on in her life. And we tend to judge people. We judge their sins and we judge the sinner. Fortunately, though, God doesn't do that. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, that's Christ's sacrifice on the cross, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now listen again, that while we were sinners, while we were God's very enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, though, even more than that fantastic part, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We are now, as followers of Christ, reconciled with God. Now, sometimes we do get astray and go off the path that God would have for us. The best way I can explain that is we are still his children, just like our children are always our children. We can't change who their biological parent is. That is still that person's child. That relationship can never change. Once we accept Christ and become God's child, that relationship never changes. He will always be our father. However, just like in an earthly relationship, sometimes that relationship with our Father in heaven gets fractured, and we don't agree with each other because I'm not doing what the Father is telling me to do. And sometimes that relationship gets damaged, but never, ever, ever forget that you are God's child. You got that? Nobody can grasp that, take that away from you. No matter how much you sin, no matter how bad your life is, no matter, you can turn your back on God. Just like you see children sometimes say, I have nothing to do with my parents. Even young kids want to be emancipated from their parents, they call it, where their parents have no influence on them. You can do all that and have no relationship, but you are still a child of your Father. And we as Christians, once we make that decision to follow Christ, our children of our Father, even when we mess up, He still loves us. Because even when we were enemies, He loved us. How much more does He love us when we are His children? Continuing on, this is getting into the meat of what we want to talk about today, is the kingdom. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. Pause there. My kingdom is not of this world. The Jews were a little bit mistaken. They had always thought that their Messiah was an earthly king coming to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem, and they would take over if they were occupied by the Romans or whoever. They would take over by force, that they would go and fight their way through under the leadership of their Messiah, and that's where his kingdom would be established. And he's like, no, guys, that's not what I was after. If it had been that way, indeed, my servants would have been fighting. But no, I wanted to be delivered over to the Jews because my kingdom is not from the world. Then this is Pilate, one of the officials there speaking to him, which we'll probably talk about some of the Easter story next week, said, So you are a king? And Jesus answered, You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Again, talking about that relationship, that truth, that gospel, that good news. That's what Jesus came here to deliver, was to say, I'm the sacrifice. I'm here to bring you the good news. You need to know the truth. Building God's kingdom is about sharing the truth and the good news. Now, there is lots of speculation and talk about how you best go about sharing the good news, sharing the truth, sharing the gospel. Because we as the church and whole, those that believe in Jesus Christ, through the various denominations and different church beliefs and things, we don't seem to get along and agree on simply what it says the good news is and what the truth is. Very much like the Pharisees in the Bible did, we sometimes come up with extraneous rules. We come up with rules that we say we interpret for Scripture, but then they don't really match up. How many of you grew up in the South? Great, that's a good majority of you. You Yankees, you're still welcome to be here. We love you, but you're not our people. Hey, seriously, there is a huge cultural difference, and I have learned that by becoming friends with people that aren't of our culture here in the South. Now, Moji, you probably grew up in the South all your life, right? Southeast. You don't look like us, Moji. I hate to break it to you. I don't know. You look a little different than the rest. And you have an accent. Has anybody ever told you that? Nah. The reason I'm saying is I'm making fun and teasing Moji. I have a friend that's from England, and he made fun of my accent all weekend. I'm trying to teach him to speak Southern. I've got him where he can say, nice, light. I said, that's a Bud Light. See, now he can understand. Now he can go to a Southern restaurant and they understand him. But what I'm talking about here is the difference in culture, the difference in churches, the things that are acceptable and not acceptable. There are, sad to say, especially in the Southeast, there are congregations where Moji and his family would not be welcome. He would be looked at as an outsider because of his skin color and his accent. I'm proud that we don't have that here at Journey, that we welcome everyone. But there are places that he would feel uncomfortable. There are places that I would feel uncomfortable. That's not what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is so much bigger than our own denominations and our own local body. It's not of this world. And we keep trying to make the kingdom of this world and making up all these rules and regulations. I even heard growing up that for someone like Moji to marry a white lady is being unequally yoked. And that's not proper in Scripture. A white man can't marry anyone of any color other than white. That's crazy. That's not scriptural. But yet there are churches that believe that and teach that because they're trying to make use these set of rules and regulations to make themselves not look like the earthly world. And they're blowing it. They're not basing it on the right things. And some of you I know have been hurt by that, especially in our area. There are churches there that have preached that kind of thing. I can guarantee you that is not the truth, the good news, or the gospel. It has nothing to do with that. We hinted a little of that again. I just want you to keep remembering this point over and over. The kingdom of God is not of this world. When we start trying to make it of this world is when we get into trouble. When we start trying to make God's kingdom work like some earthly business or some model or some group or some club or some organization, when we start trying to define God's kingdom in those terms, it breaks down because God's kingdom is not of the world. Jesus never commanded us to build his kingdom here on earth. Now, you've heard the term heaven on earth, haven't you? He realized when he made the sacrifice for us, this is never going to be heaven on earth because we live in a sin-fallen world. There are things that happen that are not in God's will in this world, and we have to deal with that as Christians as best we can. Does anybody here have a perfect world where your week goes perfectly every week? There's no crime, there's no violence, there's no divorce, there's no drama, there's no anything. It's just a wonderful week. If you do, you're one of those people that lies, and I can't stand you. Seriously, come on, don't come in and say, oh, my week's going fine. Other than my wife left me, my car's broke, I live in a shed, and, you know, come on, we've got to be real as Christians. That's part of what bringing God's kingdom here is about, sharing burdens and being real with each other and telling it like it is and saying this is what God's kingdom looks like. That's part of what was in that video, is we are not supposed to be building that kingdom here on earth. Now, this is where it gets tricky for us as Christians, because the way we worship and some of the things we do aren't really clearly defined by any example in the Bible. It doesn't say, you shall conduct your worship like this. You will have hymns, you'll have songs, then you'll have announcements, and then you'll preach, and then you'll do the offering, and then you'll close. Pretty typical for most churches in our area. It doesn't say you have to do it that way. So if I decide, we're just going to let the music speak today. Didn't preach the gospel. Oh my, that church doesn't preach the gospel. They're a cult. Oh my goodness, that's wrong. No, it's not. There are so many ways that the gospel can be communicated by word, by song, and by deed. We tend to really emphasize communicating the gospel by word. We think you have to tell someone. Now, one thing I like is the term is sharing the gospel. I think that's better than telling the gospel. Telling the gospel indicates, I have something that you need to know and you're too dumb to know it, and I'm going to tell you about it. You're not good enough to really hear this message I have, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do to fix your life and your situation. How many of you, when you received Christ and accepted the truth of the gospel, it fixed everything that's wrong in your life? No, it doesn't work that way. For many of us, it actually made it worse as far as day-to-day life goes, because now we've got this new set of values and things that it's not about me, it's about God and His Son. And that totally turns your world upside down. It turns your thinking process upside down. It makes you think of a kingdom that's not of this world. You know, it sometimes tickles me to see businesses that are Christian-based. That's great if you have Christian values in your business. How can you do that and make a profit? Wouldn't the more you make be the more you want to give away according to the gospel? Is it about accumulating wealth and things for yourself, or is it about what you can do for others? Everything in the gospel is about what we can do for others in this world. That is not a principle that most of us understand. We're about making a future for ourselves, making a future for our families, making a future so that we're secure and we don't have to rely on anyone. And that's where we get into trouble, is when we start trying to figure those things out. That was cool. My phone must be on. Let me turn that off before Leslie texts me or something. That would be really bad. She'll start. There'll be no telling what'll come. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn that over just in case she does, so I don't have to see it, because I'll get to laughing, she'll get to snorting, and everything's over with. But hey, what we have to do is we have to look at this kingdom of God idea very differently than we've been taught to look at it, I think, to ever understand what goes on around us in the world. And what we have done is, because what I was saying is, we're trying to become self-reliant. We are trying to make sure that our future is secure and everything about us is secure. And everything that goes on, whether it be in church, you know, community, government, whatever, is all going in a direction that supports me and my beliefs. Is that fair as far as what our values are for most of us? That's what we'd like to see. Does that sound like this kingdom that Jesus was talking about, where we care more about somebody else than ourselves? No. And that's what's ruining many of our churches today, is we're too inwardly focused. We're trying to build a worldly kingdom. We're trying to build a kingdom that is all about our organization. And we're the only ones that can do this right. We're the only ones that can be a church like this. You guys out here don't have a clue. We are the only church you need to go to, because none of the rest of you get it right. Do you really think that's possible? Let's look at Journey. Journey, this congregation here, this is the only congregation in the world that God's blessing enough to do, that He's gone and He's purposely shared His will with us. And we're the only church in the world that's doing what God wants to do. Do you really believe that? Don't you think there's some churches that look very different from ours in culture, geographic location, worship style, that are doing just what God wants them to do too? It's not about this group of people. It's about us as individuals, day to day, doing what God would have us to do. And again, that's where we run into this problem, because it is much more natural for me to do things that benefit me than it is for me to do things that benefit you. Everybody think that's a fair statement? Looking out for who? Number one, looking out for me. When we should be looking out for the interests of Jesus' kingdom, which is not of this world. We should be looking for opportunities to help those that are less fortunate than us. We should be looking for opportunities to share the truth about who Jesus is and what it really means to be one of His followers and what that looks like. Have you heard the term preach the gospel and use words if you have to? Various forms of that have been around for quite some time. You know, preach the gospel and use the words if you have to. That's because often we don't practice what we preach. We don't look as Christians like what people in the kingdom should look like. We look like everybody else in the world in what we do. And again, I'm not talking about how you dress, the music you listen to, whether you drink Starbucks or whether you go to Waffle House for your coffee. I'm not talking about cultural things of us being in the world. You have to be in the world in that sense, because that's where we live. But we don't need to pull back from that. There's nothing wrong with living in this world and, dare I say, even enjoying it sometimes. There are things in this world that are okay to enjoy. It's not all about Sunday morning at Journey. This is just a place for you to come, for you to worship, and hopefully hear some instruction that will help you to go forth during the week and keep building the kingdom of God wherever you're at. Whether it's at your work, whether it's at your school, wherever you may be. Maybe at the ball field for me, it may be in the car show this weekend. You never know where you will have the opportunity to build the kingdom, because the kingdom is not in one specific geographic region, not in one place. It's not of this world. And when we start looking at it like that, things open up for us. But we have got to get out of the habit of looking out for what's best for us in the church. As the church, we are often told by political candidates to vote for what's best for the church. I've heard it. You need to vote for this candidate or this candidate. Okay? Here's the way it goes. And he mentioned this as far as politics go. And it's ruining our churches, because we can't be political. That's of this world. That's not Jesus. Jesus is not a conservative white Republican, and He's neither a hippie Democrat liberal that goes around giving away everything. He's neither one of those. He's Jesus. And we need to quit basing our church decisions based on which party is trying at that point in time to court us, because they're not building God's kingdom. They're building an earthly kingdom that we have no business being a part of. Okay? That's not why we're here. There are things good and bad in both parties. Personally, on the conservative side, I enjoy tax breaks. Anybody doesn't like tax breaks? On the less conservative side, I think we should be giving to those that don't have things. Do you know why we have government welfare? Because the church fouled up and quit supporting those that it should be supporting. If the church was doing what it was should be doing in our communities, government welfare would cease to exist. Because that's building God's kingdom and not our kingdom. The problem is we built our own kingdom. We mixed politics in with our religion, and now we've got this monstrosity that looks nothing like what Jesus wanted. He didn't tell us to be political activists. How many of you saw anything in the New Testament, those of you who have read it, where Jesus was a political activist? That's what the Jews were looking for when we were talking this earlier verse. He said, had I been coming here to set up my kingdom and not wanting to be delivered over to the Jews, we would have fought back with force. That says I would have rebelled against the government, I would have rebelled against those in authority, and we would have taken the kingdom by force. And that's what we try and do today. If we can get enough of our Christian insiders in either political party, we will take over the world by force. We will take over. We will be able to legislate morality then. We'll be able to make laws against things and people will be better people, right? That works good, doesn't it? We'll make laws and nobody will shoot or kill anybody. We'll make laws and they won't do drugs. They won't drink and drive. They won't have abortions. They won't even have sex outside of marriage if we make a law against it. Man, that'll be a great world. There are people in our communities that think like that, y'all. There are people here in Chattanooga that think that's the answer, is we'll make laws. Again, we're not trying to build a kingdom that's of this world, so forget all of that. When you become a devoted disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, those things start to become naturally a part of your life because the Holy Spirit is living in you and guiding you. Now, you may still occasionally foul up. We see that throughout Scripture. The writers of the New Testament, especially Paul, he talks about his struggles in obeying the things that he knows he should do, and sometimes he does things that he shouldn't do. But he still recognizes there's a guiding force in his life that is helping him to build the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of the world. And we need to realize that. I saw a great quote the other day. Anybody remember Tony Campolo? Have you ever heard that name? Writer and a teacher. I love what he said. He said, mixing politics in the church is like mixing manure and ice cream. He says, it really doesn't do anything to the manure, but it ruins the ice cream. And that's where we're at. We need to get away from this idea that it's about our congregation, our denomination, our local body of believers, our community or whatever, and realize that God's kingdom is something much larger than that and much more depending on us as individuals to do it. You see, just coming to Journey each week and writing a check is not the kingdom of God. It does help us. It does help us to have a ministry here where we can come and we can teach and you have a place to worship and we have kids' ministries and we can reach out to the community. Yes, that does help. But that does not relieve us as individuals of the responsibility of going out and sharing the gospel. Each one of us is a minister. As a disciple of Christ, we are all to be ministers of the gospel, looking for opportunities to share God's word with those in our community. And unfortunately, we don't do that. We leave it up to the professionals. You know, I can't tell you how many times, and I don't mind this, when people come up and ask me to pray for something in their family, pray for something that's going on, you know what? My prayers are certainly no more sacred or holier than yours are. I don't have a red phone up here like the bat phone that I pick up and say, hey, God. Hey, yeah, this is Scott. Yeah, yeah. No, not that Scott. No. No. Yeah, Scott. Scott in Chattanooga. Okay. It's just Scott, okay? Listen, I've got this request for you. This lady in our congregation has this request, and yeah, and I want you to know this was coming not from her, but from me, and you need to know that because I know it makes it click. What God would react to? Your prayers are immensely important to God because why? You're His child. He listens to His children. He wants to help you with your burdens. Yes, we need to share each other's burdens. This was part of a little bit of the discussion in recovery Friday night. We need to share each other's burdens, but there's times we've got to suck it up and carry some of our own baggage and be responsible for it and say, okay, there are things I have to do. There are things you can help me do, There are things that I have to do, and building the kingdom is part of that. But finally, I want to close with this idea, and this is from James chapter 2. It says, now someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Do you know that that statement in the book of James was so controversial that some people didn't want it included in the New Testament because they felt that that was devaluing the gospel some way, that it was becoming a gospel of works, and it was coming about how good a person you are and what you do for others is how you reach heaven? No, that's not what James is talking about. James goes on in this, and we've talked about this before. James goes on to talk about meeting earthly needs, meeting physical needs, being kind, helping the poor, many of the things we saw in the video, as one of the ways we communicate the gospel. And I love that he puts it, you know, you don't just go and see some homeless person or someone in need and say, well, I'm sorry about your situation, but I'll pray for you and God bless. That's what James is talking about. You don't do that. You try and meet that need because we're supposed to be a giving, loving culture of people because that's the way the kingdom that we're members of works. It doesn't look like the world system. It doesn't look like, well, if you're going to get food stamps, you have to qualify by not doing drugs. I'm not going to give you any benefits if you use drugs. Do you know what we would look like if God did us that way and punished us for our sins and didn't give us anything when we screw up? I'm not advocating drug use. I'm just saying we need to quit judging other people that are, their sins are absolutely no worse in God's eyes than ours. What James was talking about here is when we go to people like that and we help them, you know, we have compassion for those that are struggling in life. I can tell you that people that are using food stamp money or whatever to do drugs are not living a lifestyle that's great. We seem to have come up with this conclusion, especially in our area, that everybody who abuses government sources and things is rolling in a Cadillac with their Rolex on, and they've got iPhones, and they've got all this stuff. Most of them do not. Some do have a way to abuse the system that perhaps they're working, have other income or whatever, and they can do that. The majority of people need it to survive. And when I say survive, I'm talking about survive. I'm not talking about you take your EBT card and you go to Longhorn every afternoon. You're getting $3 a meal, okay? How many of y'all can eat on $3 a meal every day? Hard. But we need to see that and value people like that and help them with their burdens. But on the flip side of that, let's don't go too far either way. Our churches tend to be like this pendulum swinging between works and faith. Works and faith. And we tend to swing too far to one side or the other. When we should be, our swing should be much more narrow. It should be back, like here, doing both all the time instead of getting on one side or the other. Because what happens is then we become, okay, James tells us we need to do works. I'm going to go on a mission. I'm going to go to India, and all I'm going to do is give them clean water. That's great. People in India need clean water to drink, but they also need to know there's a Savior who died for them, and we're doing it in His name is why they're getting that clean water, because we care about them. I want them to know there is a God in heaven that also cares about them. You see what I'm saying? You can't have one without the other. That's the reason my work should show you what my faith is about. And that is what kingdom building is all about. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about doing things that to the normal person in this world, that doesn't even make sense. Why would you go and build wells in India or someplace for people you don't even know to share about a story about this guy that they just have to have faith in? Because that's what it means to have faith. That's what it means to share the gospel about a kingdom that's not of this world. It doesn't make sense on a worldly basis. It'd be a whole lot easier just to say, let's get all the governments of the world. Have you ever wondered why there is hunger and famine in the world? Have you ever wondered about that? There are enough dollars, enough resources in the world that no one should go without water, clean drinking water. Governments of the world could unite, and we could eliminate that problem in a matter of days. You ever wonder why a government doesn't get together and do that? Well, obviously, because a government doesn't get together any better than churches do. because they can't cooperate because they each have their own idea of how things are supposed to happen. Have you ever considered that maybe that's the way God is giving us an opportunity to share our faith? It's through that. God doesn't always make our way easy here on earth. Somehow we've gotten the idea, if you're a good Christian, that God makes your way much easier than those poor people in India. They're suffering because they don't know God. Have you ever considered there's Christians in India that suffer, that don't have clean water, and they're Christians? Have you ever considered that? That maybe we're looking at our style of life as being a blessing from God, and that's the, you know, when you're blessed, you get stuff and you don't have to struggle. Well, that's not what the gospel's about. The gospel's about giving away what you've got. Maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. The lesson for those people is if you'll trust in God, He will help you in your physical circumstances. He cares about you. He loves you. He will meet your needs. He says He will meet our needs. And maybe our role in the world is by showing our works, it lets these people know about our faith as well. And we become part of what? The kingdom of God. By the way we share those things with each other. The way we work things out that we're meeting physical needs for other people. And not just Christians. Because that's the whole thing, guys. It has got to go beyond this room every week. Or what we're doing here on Sundays is basically a waste of time. We need to be out in our communities, wherever we're at, sharing in whatever way we can. Because that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about this room. It's not about this organization. It's not about any one denomination. It's about us going out and helping meet the needs of others and showing Christ's love through us. The two parts of the puzzle, the works and the faith, working together to show people the kingdom of God. And that it looks nothing like the kingdom of this world that we keep trying to make it. It's the reason those things don't work. That's the reason so many programs and organizations and things fail, is because they're trying to build it looking at the world as a model when Christ is plainly told us, there's not a model here in the world for you to look at. You have to look to me, and I'll show you how to make it work. And that's what we need to do. And guys, as we close this morning, Richard and Wendy, if you guys want to come back up, and we'll close out this morning with a word of prayer. And I just encourage you this week to look for opportunities to share the gospel and to be a part of a kingdom that's not of this world. So let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to speak before this group of people this morning. God, I thank you so much for your son and his sacrifice. And the great thing about this is, God, we have an opportunity to be used by you to establish a kingdom that looks different than any kingdom that anyone in this world has ever seen, because it is so perfect, it is so wonderful, it is so full of grace and love and sacrifice that your son made, that it looks nothing like anything people have seen. And God, I just pray this week that you will give us opportunities, especially with next Sunday. Next Sunday is no more holy than today is in this place, but it is Easter Sunday, and it's a time we're reminded of your son's sacrifice. What better time to invite others to be as we're sent into this world, God, that you send us this week into our workplace, into our school, into our family and friends' homes. And we invite them this next week to come and hear this great story that we all know about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And maybe they haven't heard that story, God, and it can be life-changing for them. It will be life-changing for them when they understand what you've done for us, God. And I just pray this week that that's on our hearts as we go out of this place, God, that we look for those opportunities, God, to serve the world in your name. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray.